I know you're saying it's not quite as beautiful as it could be. It's a little cloudy, but hey, it's a blessing to be here, right? We are talking about heaven in the real world, okay? And as we began the study a couple of weeks ago now, we began in talking about, first of all, I need to get this thing working here, heaven's priority. And as we began this lesson talking about heaven's priority, one of the things that we realized and understood is that heaven's priority is us. That's right. We are heaven's priority. God loved us enough that He sent His Son to die for us, to redeem us unto Him. After that, we were talking about last week heaven's provision. Okay? And we saw in that part of our study that heaven's provision is what? It's a pardon. Okay, that God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us so that we could be free from our sins or pardoned from our sins. Okay, so this morning we're going to be talking about heaven's purpose. Okay, what is heaven's purpose? What is it really all about? We've been talking about, in this study, living in the power of heaven in our daily lives. The fact that God's promises that He makes to us are not just for life after we die, but they are for the here and now. Okay? That God has His power available for us right now, today, in our lives. So we're talking about living daily in the power of God or the power of heaven. Okay? Now, in order for that to happen, what we were saying is that it's really all about surrendering. We've got to kind of get that down. That living in God's power is about surrendering our lives to Him. Okay? So we got to raise the white flag. Okay? Raise the white flag. Give in, surrender to God so that you can live daily in the power of heaven. Now, this morning, as we begin in this part of our study, we're going to start out by talking about Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. And y'all are familiar with the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right? Yeah. You know, the wicked queen who is a stepmother, every day she goes before the mirror on the wall. She says, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, who's the fairest of them all, right? And every day the mirror responds to her by saying, you are my queen, you are the fairest in all the land. There is no one who has as much beauty as you, right? Well, then as Snow White grows, you know, to be a beautiful young woman, one day the queen goes before the mirror and says, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror responds by saying, my queen, you have been the fairest of them all, but now there is someone who is much fairer than you. Mm-hmm. Well, what is the queen's response? She gets upset with the mirror, doesn't she? Okay? She gets upset with the mirror. The mirror is no longer telling me what I want to hear. Well, James tells us about a kind of mirror, so to speak, that we have available for us today. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And he continues on in chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, and he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and then after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what it looks like. And so what happens is, this person he talks about, the first person, is one who looks at himself, and then he goes away and forgets what's there. But he continues. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, okay, he will be blessed in what he does. So this man looks into the mirror and he acts on what he sees there. Right? The Word of God, according to what James is telling us here, the Word of God is like a mirror. Okay? And we need to use that mirror to examine ourselves. So the Word of God is our mirror on the wall, so to speak. Okay? And what we typically do, though, is that we tend to look into the mirror of God's Word, hoping to be able to see our reflection of our own goodness before God. We like to look at it and go, oh yeah. It's kind of like the rich young ruler. All these things I've done since I was a boy, aren't I so good? But when that mirror shows our flaws and our sins, then how do we typically respond? Like the wicked queen, we get mad at the mirror. Okay. And what we need to do is to use that mirror as a guide, you see, to help us to transform our image. When we do that, then we can find hope to overcome the sin and the flaws that are in our lives. Okay. Let me ask you this. You look into a mirror and you see the flaws in your physical reflection, don't you fix those? I mean, that's why you look in the mirrors, right? You know, you get up in the morning and you start, you know, you guys, you go in there and you shave and you go, oh, I missed a little hair there. You do it, you know. And you ladies, I'm not even going to go there, okay? You know? But why do we do that? Why do we spend so much time in front of the mirror? So that we can look to see that when we go outside, people aren't going, ooh, what's that on your face? You see, so we fix it when we see those flaws. We need to do the same thing with our spiritual reflection. You see? As we look into the mirror of God's Word and we see the flaws, we got to do the same thing we do every morning when we look into the physical mirror, you see. We need to correct them. We need to fix those flaws. So that our lives, as we go out into the world, reflect the life of Jesus. Okay? Probably, I mean, if you have children, okay, then you have probably experienced something like this, okay? You know, I can dress myself. And, you know, kids, when they're growing up and they're learning, right, Braylon? You learn how to dress yourself, right? You know how to do that. And how many times do they come out and they got, you know, clothes that don't match or they're not really, they're backwards or whatever, you see? Although I have to admit, when Emma was here visiting with us over the summertime, she asked me to help her put her shoes on, and I actually put them on the wrong feet. So, you know, I guess maybe that's when you get older. You know, I don't know. But you know, it's not a deal. I can dress myself. Okay? And that brings us to the parable of the wedding banquet, Matthew chapter 22. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, and it's another one of those parables that helps us to understand the message that God is giving us from heaven. What is heaven's message concerning heaven's purpose for us today? You say, it is another message that helps us to learn about how to live our life on earth. How do I, as a Christian today, live my life? Jesus is going to share with us how we need to do that in this particular parable. And he goes on to tell a parable that there's a king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. And he goes and sends a servant out to invite, to tell all the people that have been invited that the wedding banquet is ready and for it's time for them to come to the feast. But those who had been invited begin to make excuses. And they refuse to come. And so the king sends his servants out to the streets and the byways and tell people to come in. Bring anybody in. Bring everybody in. So that they can enjoy the banquet that I have prepared. Well, banquet's going on and the king sees a man there who is not properly dressed, Jesus says. And so the king has him bound and thrown out into the darkness. You go, wait a minute. Didn't he invite all these people in off the street? And you know, of course, somebody that's coming in off the street, they're not necessarily going to be dressed for a wedding banquet. They weren't expecting to be there. So what's this part of the story all about? He throws somebody out of the banquet just because they don't have the right clothes on? Well, actually, there's a whole lot more to it than that. You see, the customs of the day were that wedding clothes were provided to the guests if they didn't have the proper attire themselves. It was the host's responsibility. You see? So if someone came to the wedding feast and they didn't have the proper clothes to wear to the wedding feast, they were provided for them. So in other words, there was no excuse for someone to not be dressed properly at the banquet. Okay. And I think what we have happening here is that this man apparently thought that he could dress himself any way he wanted to and still attend the wedding banquet. Okay. A whole different perspective, perhaps, maybe how you've seen that parable in the past. But that's really what it's all about. And why is that so significant? Why is the kingdom of heaven like that? And what is heaven's message for us today about this parable? You see, well, it's all about the clothes that we wear, because all of us have been invited by God to come to the wedding feast of His Son and His bride, the church. We've all been invited. And God, first and foremost, He invited the Jews to come. But they refused. They rejected Him. And they made excuses as to why they didn't want to come. And so what did He do? He sent His servants out and He invited everyone. And this particular picture here is to depict the scene where the Apostle Peter went to the household of Cornelius, and the bride of Christ, that is the church, was opened up to the Gentiles. And in case you didn't realize that, that's us, you see. And so God has invited all of us to the wedding banquet. And the other thing that He has done is that He provides the wedding garments. Okay. He doesn't want us, in other words, to dress ourselves. He provides the garments. In Galatians chapter 3, there Paul tells us, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So when we are baptized into Christ, we get new clothes. You see? The wedding garments that are provided by the king. Alright? Yet there are still a lot of people today who want to dress themselves. Okay? I can do it myself. And they want to wear what they want to wear and refuse to wear the garments that are provided by the king. But you see, God wants to provide all of us with a whole new wardrobe. He's got new clothes for us to wear. I mean, isn't that great? Like, hey, how often do you get an opportunity to get a whole new wardrobe, right? But then, yeah, this is not the physical clothes. This is the spiritual clothes that God wants to give us so that we will be properly dressed for the banquet. Well, one of the things we have to understand is that this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. This whole idea of reclothing us or giving us new clothes. Why is that so important? We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sinned, you see, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened as a result of that? Genesis chapter 3 verse 7 tells us, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked." Well, what did they do then? They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You know, really what that was all about, that it was their inadequate attempt to cover their sins. In other words, they chose the clothes to put on, just like the man at the wedding feast. They chose something to wear, and it was inadequate. Okay? Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Okay? Well, here's a question for you. Where did the animal skins come from? Mm-hmm. See? Well, the animal skins had to come from animals, innocent animals, whose blood was shed in order to cover man's sin, his nakedness. And that's the first recorded event that we have where innocent blood was shed to cover man's sin. That's why, as you read throughout the Old Testament, in the law, Moses required animal sacrifices to be made. You see? So that they would be reminded of what had to take place, that blood had to be shed to cover man's sins. And of course, that was all symbolical, to represent the blood of the lamb. You see, because this is what happens. When we sin, we soil the image that we were created, the image of God. That's what sin does. It soils us. And in order for us to be reconciled to God, we've got to be cleansed. And the only way to be cleansed is through blood. But what we do is we have, again, feeble attempts to try to cover ourselves. See? Put on the clothes we want to wear to try to hide our sin. And you see, if God were to ask you the very same question that he asked Adam and Eve on that event when they had sinned, what was it that God said to them when he came down walking in the garden in the cool of the day? They were hiding, right? And God said to them, "Where are you?" If he asked you that very same question, if he asked me that very same question, and we were really honest with ourselves and with him, then we would say to him, "In sin, that's where I am." Not trying to hide from him, not trying as if we could hide our sins from him any more than Adam and Eve could. We would say, "I'm in sin." You see, heaven's purpose is all about reclothing us in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. To take off that old and to put on the new. To give us new garments. Garments that are fit for the wedding banquet of his Son. That sacrificial lamb of Jesus, he died so that our nakedness could be covered by his blood. That's what it was all about. So that's why we need to have the proper clothing on, you see. That's why it's not enough for us to just try to dress ourselves, to put on anything we want to wear, as a lot of people do today. A lot of people want to wear a smaller Jesus coat. One that's not quite, doesn't quite, you know, have all of Jesus on it, but just enough. You see? It's kind of like a sweater vest. You see? I don't want the whole coat, just give me a sweater vest. So people can see I got some Jesus, but I don't want to be covered in the whole thing. And that's what we oftentimes try to do. The master of the wedding banquet will accept no other kind of garments. And that's one of the things we have to understand. Okay? Fig leaves didn't work back in the garden and they won't work today. No other garment is acceptable than that of the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. But here's something you have to keep in mind. You got to take off the old garments before you put on the new. Okay? It doesn't do any good to take new garments and put them on over old dirty clothes. I mean, who would do that? We think, well, that's ridiculous, right? But yet, that's what a lot of people try to do. They try to just put on Jesus over top of the sin-stained garments they have so they can wear both. It won't work. You say, it won't work. We have to, first of all, Romans chapter 6, die to sin. You say, we're buried with Christ in baptism, where we rise to a newness of life. Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in the text that what was read for us as we began, do not lie to each other. Since you have done what? Taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new. Okay? You take off the old self and you put on the new, which is being renewed. Look at what he says, which is being renewed. It's an ongoing process. You say? And how is it being renewed? In the image of its Creator. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness. Okay? We are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Where does the garment come from? It comes from the Lord. And it is an ongoing process, you say, that we are being transformed with ever increasing glory. That's the process of getting the new clothes. You see, heaven's purpose for us is to give us new clothes. And those new clothes are the image of Jesus Christ. And so it's a matter of transforming us, you see, of less of ourselves and more of Him, so that we reflect the Lord's glory. I mean, really put it simply, it's this. I'm trying to be more like Jesus. And we've talked about that many times before. Trying to be more like Jesus so that my life reflects Him. So when people see me, they see Jesus. Okay. Lord, I want my life to reflect who You are. So, to that mirror, mirror on the wall, you say this: do you see Christ in me at all? So here's what I want you to think about while we're singing our invitation song. All right? I want you to be thinking about when you look in the mirror. Okay? What do you see? What do you see? Do you see Jesus looking back at you? Heaven's purpose for us is to make us new, to give us new garments, new clothes, to take away the old, and to cover us in the blood and the glory of Jesus Christ, so that our lives daily, as we live in the power of heaven, will reflect the life of Jesus. That's heaven's purpose for us. Maybe some of the things that I've shared with you this morning are causing you to think a little bit about your own life. I hope they are. And that maybe there's someone here this morning who's looking at this going, you know, when I look in the mirror, I don't see Jesus, I see all of me. And if that's your situation this morning, I want to encourage you, let's give that to God. Let's get you out of the picture.